The door opens and a young man who must be Sinner enters. I'm taken aback by how normal he looks. Most of the stylists they interview on television are so dyed, stenciled, and surgically altered they're grotesque. But Sinner's close-cropped hair appears to be its natural shade of brown. He is in a simple black shirt and pants. The only concession to self-alteration seems to be the metallic gold eyeliner that has been applied with a light hand. It brings out the flecks of gold in his green eyes. And despite my disgust with the capital and their hideous fashions, I can't help thinking how attractive it looks. "Hello, Katniss. I'm Cinna, your stylist," he says in a quiet voice, somewhat lacking in the capital's affectations. "Hello," I venture cautiously. "Just give me a moment, all right?" he asks. He walks around my naked body, not touching me, but taking in every inch of it with his eyes. I resist the impulse to cross my arms over my chest. "Who did your hair?"
"My mother," I say.
"It's beautiful. Classic, really. And an almost perfect balance with your profile. She has very clever fingers," he says. I had expected someone flamboyant, someone older, trying desperately to look young, someone who viewed me as a piece of meat to be prepared for a platter. Cinna has met none of these expectations.
"You're new, aren't you? I don't think I've seen you before," I say.
Most of the stylists are familiar, constants in the ever-changing pool of tributes. Some have been around my whole life. "Yes, this is my first year in the games," says Cinna.
"So they gave you District 12,
I say. Newcomers generally end up with us, the least desirable district. "I asked for District 12, he says without further explanation. "Why don't you put on your robe and we'll have a chat?" Pulling on my robe, I follow him through a door into a sitting room. Two red couches face off over a low table. Three walls are blank, the fourth is entirely glass, providing a window to the city. I can see by the light that it must be around noon, although the sunny sky has turned overcast. Cinna invites me to sit on one of the couches and takes his place across from me. He presses a button on the side of the table. The top splits, and from below rises a second tabletop that holds our lunch. Chicken and chunks of oranges cooked in a creamy sauce, laid on a bed of pearly white grain, tiny green peas and onions, rolls shaped like flowers, and for dessert, a pudding the color of honey. I try to imagine assembling this meal myself back home. Chickens are too expensive, but I could make do with a wild turkey. I'd need to shoot a second turkey to trade for an orange. Goat's milk would have to substitute for cream. We can grow peas in the garden. I'd have to get wild onions from the woods. I don't recognize the grain. Our own tessera ration cooks down to an unattractive brown mush. Fancy rolls would mean another trade with the baker, perhaps for two or three squirrels. As for the pudding, I can't even guess what's in it. Days of hunting and gathering for this one meal, and even then it would be a poor substitution for the capital version. What must it be like, I wonder, to live in a world where food appears at the press of a button? How would I spend the hours I now commit to combing the woods for sustenance if it were so easy to come by? What do they all do all day, these people in the capital, besides decorating their bodies and waiting around for a new shipment of tributes to roll in and die for their entertainment? I look up and find Cinna's eyes trained on mine.
"How despicable we must seem to you," he says.
Has he seen this in my face or somehow read my thoughts? He's right, though. The whole rotten lot of them is despicable.
"No matter," says Cinna. "So, Katniss, about your costume for the opening ceremonies. My partner, Portia, is the stylist for your fellow tribute, Peter. and our current thought is to dress you in complimentary costumes," says Cinna. "As you know, it's customary to reflect the flavor of the district.